property to get their hands on the $50,000. Selling triggers a taxable event, capital gains taxes. If the capital gain is $50,000, $50,000 times 20% tax equals $10,000 in taxes. A less expensive way. Rather than sell a property, Kim, Ken McElroy, and I have a different strategy. We pull out our $50,000 in appreciation through debt rather than sell the property. Homeowners do this all the time. It's called a home equity loan. The appreciation, the phantom income, comes out as debt and into our pockets tax-free. The big difference. The big difference is that the tenants pay the interest expense on the $50,000 on our rental property. In the case of a home equity loan, the homeowners themselves pay the interest on the loan. More often than not, many homeowners take the $50,000 loan and pay off credit card debt and other higher interest loans, like school loans. This may reduce a family's total monthly interest expense, but they are not getting ahead financially. The professional investor will take the $50,000 and use it as a down payment on more rental properties. Let's say the professional investor takes the $50,000 from an existing property and acquires two more rental properties. Their financial statement now has three rental properties in the asset column instead of just one. Question: but didn't the investor's debt go up with two new mortgages? Answer: yes. But if the investor was a good investor, so did his passive income. That pays the interest on the new mortgages and puts passive income into his or her pocket. Question: and the investor receives more phantom income? Answer: the following are more examples of an investor's phantom income. Tax lessons from Tom. More real estate equals more phantom income. Suppose your one rental property cost $100,000. You have no debt, and you have $100,000 of property, all of which came from after-tax income. Instead, you borrow $200,000 and buy three properties. Now you have real estate worth $300,000. Let's say your appreciation is 10% on your properties. If you have one property, your appreciation or phantom income is $10,000, $100,000 times 10%. However, if you have three properties worth $300,000, your appreciation or phantom income is $30,000, $300,000 times 10%. In this case, your debt tripled your phantom income. Here are more examples of an investor's phantom income. Amortization is phantom income. Amortization is the reduction of your debt. Every time you make a mortgage, car, or credit card payment, your loan balance is being amortized or paid off. Mom and Pop amortize their debt with after-tax, ordinary income dollars. They use their money. That's very different than real estate investors' debt, debt that a tenant amortizes. The reduction in debt is another source of phantom income for professional investors. I love real estate because my tenants amortize my debt, not me. Remember, good debt is your debt that someone else pays for. Every month, Kim and I get richer because every month our tenants are amortizing our debt. Depreciation is phantom income. Depreciation is also known as wear and tear. The tax department gives you tax write-offs because, in theory, your investment property is going down in value due to wear and tear. Even if your property is appreciating, going up in value, the tax man gives you a tax break for depreciation, as if the property's going down in value. Depreciation is a major source of phantom income for professional real estate investors. Tax lessons from Tom. The magic of depreciation. In Chapter 7 of my book, Tax-Free Wealth, I explain in great detail the magic of depreciation. It truly is phantom income. Imagine receiving a tax deduction that you don't have to pay for. Even if you borrow the money to buy the real estate, you get a deduction for depreciation. Even if the property goes up in value, you get a deduction for depreciation. Most countries allow this deduction, but only for property that produces cash flow. Personal residences do not create depreciation deduction. Why savers are losers? Savers are losers because, 1, savers pay taxes on interest earnings, often with after-tax dollars from ordinary income. 2, savers are losing money as the purchasing power of their savings goes down due to the banking system. Both quantitative easing, QE, and fractional reserve banking are factors. Question. So savers are taxed while their money loses value? Answer. Yes. Question. And real estate investors win because they are given tax breaks as their property appreciates in value? Answer. Yes. This next example is how phantom income really makes the rich richer. McDonald's money is phantom cash flow. Ray Kroc once said, McDonald's is a real estate company. McDonald's is one of the world's largest chains of fast food restaurants and a real estate company for a reason. Phantom income. Let's say McDonald's fast food business earns $1 million in taxable income. And let's say McDonald's real estate business has $1 million in depreciation. The $1 million in taxable income from the business is offset by $1 million in depreciation from the real estate business. That means McDonald's fast food business pays zero in taxes. Tax lessons from Tom. Taxable income. If McDonald's did not have any real estate, it would pay about $450,000 in taxes on its $1 million of taxable income, $1 million times 45% tax rate. The depreciation deduction reduces McDonald's taxable income to zero, $1 million income less $1 million deduction. So McDonald's pays no tax on its $1 million of fast food income and saves $450,000 in taxes. Question. So McDonald's gets richer many ways other than just income? Answer. Yes. A few more examples are, 1. The $1 million in depreciation from real estate is phantom income. 2. Their real estate appreciation is phantom income. 3. The increase in the value of McDonald's hamburger business is phantom income. 4. The debt on both the business and real estate is being amortized by the business, which is more phantom income. 5. Many U.S. companies earn income outside the United States and keep that income outside the country, out of reach of U.S. taxes. More phantom income. 6. This list could go on and on depending on how smart the business tax strategies are, on how smart their tax strategists, their Tom Wheelwrights, are. Employees at McDonald's. Meanwhile, the employees at McDonald's work for a paycheck, save money, struggle to get out of debt, and invest in a 401k, all subject to ordinary income taxes. And we wonder why the rich get richer. Question. Do you follow the McDonald's formula in your business? Answer. We do. All you have to do is change McDonald's to the Rich Dad Company in the B quadrant of the cash flow quadrant. The Rich Dad Company is in the B quadrant, and my personal real estate company is in the I quadrant. The depreciation deduction that applies to the I quadrant offsets the tax expenses in the B quadrant. One difference is that we bring all income earned overseas back to the United States, where we're headquartered. We believe that's the right thing to do. Question. Even if you bring all your income from the Rich Dad Company onshore, you can still pay zero taxes? Answer. Yes. When we make more money in the Rich Dad Company in the B quadrant, we buy more real estate in the I quadrant businesses. Question. So you get richer in both the B and I quadrants. You also increase income, increase debt, pay less in taxes, and increase phantom income? Answer. You're getting it. Question. Can someone in the E and S quadrants do the same thing? Can they receive phantom income? Answer. Yes. but they must be a professional investor in the I quadrant. People like the millionaire next door do not qualify. They tend to invest in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and pension plans. Passive investments for passive investors do not receive the same levels of phantom income. Question. So is that why you talked about taking real estate seminars before investing? Answer. Yes. Investing in real estate requires far more financial education than investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and ETFs. Understanding the asset classes. Paper assets are liquid. If you make a mistake investing in paper assets, you can get in and get out quickly. You can cut your losses immediately. If, on the other hand, you make a mistake in real estate, the mistake could take you down into bankruptcy. Real estate is not liquid. You cannot cut your losses quickly. Question. What real estate courses do you recommend? Answer. There are many companies offering real estate courses. Rich Dad does too. The Rich Dad company offers many real estate coaching options and courses. While I believe Rich Dad offers the best courses and coaching programs, it is important for you to decide which programs are best for you. Another resource you can use is Rich Dad Radio and our weekly radio program with podcast access anywhere in the world via richdad.com. Every week, Kim and I interview cutting-edge thinkers on a wide variety of topics that are especially relevant to entrepreneurs and professional investors. I also encourage you to check out RDTV at richdad.com/RDTV. Start with books. The greatest teachers in the world are in books, and the best news is that books are inexpensive and teachers can go into greater detail. Best of all, perhaps, is that they teach on your schedule when you have the time, and they come to you. If you do not understand something, the teacher is happy when you can go back and reread the parts you did not understand. Over the years, I have asked my personal advisors to write books, explaining in detail what they do. All of my Rich Dad advisors are entrepreneurs, self-made successes, and geniuses in their different fields of work. There are advisor books for the S&B quadrants and books for the I quadrant. If you want to learn more about phantom income and the I quadrant, there are several of the advisor books that I recommend. Rich Dad advisor Ken McElroy has written 3 books for people interested in investing in real estate from the I quadrant. Ken, Kim, and I have made millions together, often using 100% debt, much of which is tax-free. Ken is one of the brightest minds in real estate today, and an expert on using debt to acquire multi-million-dollar real estate projects. Ken McElroy's books are The ABCs of Real Estate Investing, The ABCs of Property Management, The Advanced Guide to Real Estate Investing. You might also enjoy Garrett Sutton's book, Loopholes of Real Estate. He is an attorney and real estate investor. But of course, real estate is not for everyone. For those who prefer paper assets, Andy Tanner is my advisor. His book is titled Stock Market Cash Flow. This book is priceless for the millionaire next door, a person who has a lot of money tied up in poorly performing or non-performing paper assets. Andy teaches a subject every investor needs to know, how to make money when markets are going up and when markets are crashing. As Andy often says, market crashes make the rich richer. Although paper assets do not offer the same debt, tax, and phantom income advantages that real estate does, paper assets do offer many other advantages to the professional investor in the I quadrant. By now, I'm sure you'd agree that Tom Wheelwright, my CPA and tax strategist, is a genius in how to pay less in taxes legally. He has saved Kim and me millions of dollars in taxes. Tom's Rich Dad Advisor book is titled Tax-Free Wealth. If you plan on becoming rich in the I quadrant, you must know how to protect your assets from 2 predators, lawsuits and taxes. Garrett Sutton is an attorney and my legal advisor on asset protection. If not for Garrett, Kim and I would have lost everything due to frivolous lawsuits. He is a genius on asset protection and protecting your wealth from other people and the government. To do that, you must protect your assets the way corporations in the B quadrant protect their assets. Garrett Sutton's books on asset protection are Start your own corporation. Run your own corporation. How to use LLCs and LPs. If you want to become a professional investor in the I Quadrant, these books are essential for your library. The Spirit of the Law. As the real estate instructor in that 3-day course said many years ago, the purpose of a residential real estate investor is to provide safe, secure, and affordable housing. If you will do that, most governments of the world will partner with you by offering tax breaks and phantom income opportunities not available to the E and S quadrants. Tax lessons from Tom. The government wants you to be rich. The government loves partnering with investors and business owners. It partners with McDonald's by giving it $450,000 of tax breaks for investing in real estate. This is like a $450,000 investment in real estate by the government. If you build housing, the government will give you tax breaks so you don't have to take all of the risk. The government shares in the risk by giving you tax breaks against your other income. It is essential that you follow the rules, real estate laws, finance laws, tax laws, and corporate laws. Following the spirit of the law as well as the letter of the law is required for those who live in the I Quadrant. Tax lessons from Tom. Following the law. By now, it should be clear that the rich have different rules than the average person. They also have stricter requirements for following the rules. If someone in the E or S quadrants fudges a bit on their tax return, they get a slap on the wrist. If someone in the B or I quadrant ignores any part of the law, they go to prison. So if you want to be in the B or I quadrants, you have to learn to obey the letter and spirit of the law precisely. Question: does a person need to be a big real estate investor? Answer: no. Let me give you an example of a smaller investor. Again, I will keep it as simple as possible. Mary is a 40-year-old employee who earns $100,000 a year and pays, 30% tax bracket, $30,000 a year in income tax. In her spare time, she is a professional real estate investor in the I Quadrant. After a few years, she owns 10 rental properties worth $1 million. She earns no income from her properties. The depreciation from her rental properties is $100,000 a year. Total taxes paid on her income, $30,000. Depreciation on her rental real estate, $100,000. Taxes paid, zero. $100,000 of income less $100,000 of depreciation. Question: so she earns no net rental income from her properties, yet she saves $30,000 in taxes on her ordinary income from her job because she does not have to pay the $30,000? Her phantom income is $30,000? Answer: yes. $30,000 is money that did not leave her checkbook. Question: and she is still receiving phantom income from appreciation and amortization? Answer: correct. Question: and when she retires, her properties will be free and clear, debt-free? Answer: yes, provided that she does not refinance or sell her properties. Question: and she will receive rental income for life? Answer: yes, if she takes care of her tenants and her properties. Question: she won't have to worry about a giant stock market crash? Answer: no. Even if the stock market crashes and we enter another Great Depression, people still need a roof over their heads. Question: and she can earn more money and pay less in taxes? Answer: yes. In the spirit of the I Quadrant, if you take care of your tenants and your property, the government will take care of you. A most important lesson. At the end of the 3-day real estate class, our instructor said, "Your education begins the moment you leave this room." He then had us get into groups of 3 to 5 people as we waited for his homework assignment. Your assignment is to look at 100 properties in the next 90 days. You are going to learn how to find the best investments. You are going to put what you've learned into action. You will make many mistakes. Your real education is about to begin. He said, Your education begins when you knock on real estate agents' doors, go to open houses, scour the newspaper classified ads for opportunities, and drive neighborhoods looking for sale signs. When you find a possible deal, you are to physically inspect it, analyze it, and write up a one-page report on the pros and cons of the property, possible income growth, forecast on debt, taxes, and phantom cash flow. You are to have 100 of these reports on real properties in the next 90 days, he instructed. Why are we doing this? Asked one of the students. Because that is what real investors do, the instructor said as he smiled at us. This 100-to-1 ratio is how real investors find the best investments. I believe there were initially 5 people in our group. We all agreed to do the assignment. As you might imagine, it wasn't long before some of my teammates were too busy, had kids' soccer practice, needed to work late, or had wife or husband problems. At the end of the 90 days, there were just 2 of us left. We had our binders with 100 projects analyzed and evaluated. Even today, after more than 4 decades as a real estate investor, it was the best financial education process I have ever gone through. I purchased my first property, a 1-bedroom, 1-bath condo across the street from a beautiful beach on the island of Maui. The property market had crashed. Buyers were in hiding. The property was in foreclosure. It was perfect for an investor. The price of the condo was $18,000, and I needed a down payment of 10%. I pulled out my credit card, charged the $1,800 down payment, purchasing the property with 100% debt. I made only $25 a month in positive cash flow, but it was an infinite return because I used 100% debt and none of my own money. A short while later, I was offered stupid money for my property. The buyer offered me $42,000, more than twice what I had paid. Although I had no plan to sell, the ROI was too good to pass up. I sold the condo, placing the transaction into what is called a 1031 tax-deferred exchange. Question: what is a tax-deferred exchange? Answer: it means I do not have to pay the capital gains tax on the sale. My $24,000 capital gain from the sale was tax-free, as long as I followed the rules for a 1031 exchange. Question: tax-free capital gains, more phantom income? Answer: yes, as long as I followed the rules of the 1031, which required me to invest in more real estate. I could not spend the $24,000 on just anything. I soon purchased 3 more properties using the $24,000 as real money down payments on these new properties. Tax lessons from Tom. 1031, like-kind exchanges. In the United States, the government is willing to forego the taxes on the sale of real estate as long as it is immediately invested in other investment real estate. The gain on the sold property is transferred to the new property, so it will eventually be taxed if the investor cashes out of their real estate before they die. However, if they hold their real estate until they die, the gain is forgiven forever and no tax is due. I started with debt from a credit card and kept going, following the rules of phantom money. Question: what is that first $18,000 property worth today? Answer: I went by it a few years ago. Properties in the same condominium complex were selling for $300,000 to $425,000. I am sure prices are higher today. Question: don't you regret selling your unit? Answer: yes and no. Due to the lessons from my 3-day real estate course, I was able to turn my $24,000 into many millions of dollars. Today, Kim and I own over 5,000 rental properties, 3 hotels, 5 golf courses, and more, all from debt, taxes, and phantom income. So while I wish I had kept my first property, I was better off starting with 0 and turning 0 into millions. The velocity of money. Turning zero into millions of dollars is known as the velocity of money. How fast can I keep my money moving, acquiring more assets, then pulling the money out of those assets without selling the assets and buying more assets? Another reason why the rich get richer is because the poor and middle class park their money in savings or invest for the long term in a pension. Rather than park their money, the I-quadrant investor keeps their money moving. Tax lessons from Tom. Taxes on parking income versus velocity. Income that is parked in long-term investments is taxed at capital gains rates. When an I-quadrant investor keeps their money moving through debt and investing, they pay no tax on the movement because it's debt and can actually get additional phantom income from depreciation. Question. So the average person cannot see money moving? Answer. True. All the average person knows is to park their money while people in the I-quadrant borrow their money and move it at high speed. Question. Is that why so many people say to you, you can't do that here? Answer, yes. I hear it all the time, and that's because most of them are in the E and S quadrants, and these people challenge what we do. I can look out the window and see the large buildings of the people who are doing it, there. If you did not understand any parts of this chapter, please find a partner or an accountant and discuss it. It is a very important chapter. If you understand this chapter, you will see what most people never see, even if it is right in front of their eyes. Chapter 11. I Quadrant. Masters of Money. Poor Dad. Go back to school and get your MBA. Rich Dad. Become a master of money. In the spring of 1974, I was flying my last flights with the Marines. Flying between the spectacular islands of Hawaii made leaving the Marine Corps even more difficult. I absolutely loved flying, yet I knew it was time for me to move on. In June of 1974, I drove off the base, returned the guard salute for the last time, and left for my new life in downtown Honolulu. In a few days, I would start my new life with the Xerox Corporation. No MBA. My poor dad had wanted me to get my MBA and climb the corporate ladder. I dropped out of the MBA after 6 months. After flight school and flying for 5 years, I could not stand the boredom of traditional education. My dad was disappointed, but he understood. He knew I had come to a fork in the road. He knew I was not going to follow in his footsteps. He knew I was not going to climb a corporate ladder. He knew I wanted to become an entrepreneur. Skills for an entrepreneur. My rich dad had suggested I get a job in sales, saying, the number one skill of an entrepreneur is his or her ability to sell. He would repeatedly say, sales equals income, and if you want more income, sell more. While still in the Marines, I applied to Xerox because Xerox had the best sales training in corporate America. Soon after being hired, I was flown to Leesburg, Virginia for a 4-week sales training program. It was a fabulous 4 weeks. I had been in military school and in the military since I was 18 years old. In 1974, at the age of 27, I was finally back in the real world. The problem was that even with the best sales training, I was still struggling. I was on the streets of Honolulu, knocking on doors and having doors literally slammed in my face. I wasn't making any money because I was not selling. I wanted to quit, but I could hear Rich Dad's words. Failing is how you learn in the real world. In the real world, you fail until you succeed. So I kept knocking on doors. 2 years later, I was doing a little better. My mind and my body had embraced the salesman's motto, selling begins when the customer says no. At first, every no hurt. After 2 years and hundreds of no's, I actually got excited when the customer said no. I knew every no meant it was time to start selling, although I was very shy and terrified of rejection. I actually learned to love selling. I learned to love rejection. As Rich Dad taught his son and me, your life transforms when you learn to love what you fear. I had learned to love my fear of rejection. Overcoming rejection and turning around a customer's objection became a game. This works in romance, too. All my life, I have been terrible around women. I had no guts. I was a stud flying planes and a wimp around women. Learning to love my fear of rejection changed all that. The first time I saw Kim, my old fears came up. She took my breath away. I almost went back to my old behavior and did not ask her for a date. In 1984, when I asked Kim out, she turned me down. She was polite, but clear she had no interest in me. I got creative without being obnoxious and kept asking. She rejected me for 6 months before she said yes. We went on our first date and we have been together ever since and recently celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. I would not be where I am without her. I know she did not marry me for my money because when we met, I had no money. I was a struggling entrepreneur in the S and I quadrants. The best training for entrepreneurs. Rich Dad was very happy I took a job with Xerox. He said, every day you will go to real business school. Every day you will learn to become a better entrepreneur. After my second year on the streets, I understood what Rich Dad was talking about. Every day, my job was to go into a business and study their paper flow. I had to learn how paper documents flowed from department to department in a business. After studying the paper flow, I could make a more educated recommendation for a new Xerox machine. Studying paper flows allowed me to study many different businesses from the inside out. Small entrepreneurs. Since I was a junior sales rep, I was not allowed to sell to major corporate accounts, B-quadrant businesses. I was only allowed to sell to small businesses, run by small entrepreneurs, S-quadrant businesses. Doing business with many different small business owners was a priceless experience. I came to the conclusion all small business entrepreneurs are crazy. Everyone is different, everyone a character. The employees who worked for the entrepreneurs were basically the same, sane and stable. The entrepreneur was frantic and frenetic, a few steps from the funny farm. Their strengths and weaknesses were obvious, and it was obvious their strengths were also their weaknesses. They would never be good employees, and they were too independent to grow their business into the B quadrant. I was learning a lot about people, the most important component of a business. I realized most were trapped in the S quadrant. As my sales and my income improved, I knew I was getting closer to the day I would leave the E quadrant. When the company announced that I was number one in sales, I announced my resignation from Xerox. It was time to move to the S quadrant. In 1978, I left the E quadrant. My fellow Xerox employees gave me a small going-away party. Several said, "You are going to fail, and you'll be back." They had seen people like me before. Several Xerox employees had left, failed, and come back. Smiling and thanking them for 4 years of friendship, I said, "I know I will fail, but I will never come back." Transitions. My last day in the E quadrant was my first day in the S quadrant, a day of joy, doubt, terror, and excitement. 2 years later, I did fail. I was one of the 9 out of 10 entrepreneurs who fail in their first 5 years in business. I did lose everything, but I never went back to the E quadrant. I was in deep in S quadrant hell. There is a saying that goes, when you're going through hell, keep going. That became my mantra. So I kept going. For years, there were days when I would wake up without a penny in my pocket and employees to pay. By dinner time, I paid my employees and I had money to pay the company's bills. I was learning another entrepreneurial life skill, how to make money quickly. The four quadrants. Earlier I presented the cash flow quadrant. Most people go to school and end up in the E quadrant. Most people never leave the E quadrant. Training for the S quadrant. A few go to school to gain professional training for the S quadrant. These students go to medical school to become doctors, law school to become attorneys, real estate school to become real estate agents, or trade schools to become electricians or contractors. Having some type of professional education helps when moving from the E quadrant to the S quadrant. The journey from E to S is very difficult if the entrepreneur has no professional qualification to soften the transition. For example, if an employee quits his job to start a new restaurant, he or she is going to spend some time in S quadrant hell. The right side of the cash flow quadrant. Sometime in early 1980, I was finally doing well in the S quadrant. My manufacturing company was building products for the surfing industry and the rock and roll industry. The rock and roll division was building licensed merchandise products for rock bands like The Police, Duran Duran, Pink Floyd, and Judas Priest. MTV came on the TV scene and pushed our rock and roll business from small to big. We had new problems. In the beginning, failure nearly killed me. Now success was killing me. I could not keep up with demand. I was constantly raising money and out of money. For example, I would raise money in April to build products. Then I would go on sales trips to sell the products the business was to produce. I promised all my retail customers delivery in October, in time for the holiday season. December would come and go, and I'd wait until April for the retailers to pay me. After paying back investors, I had to borrow money again for the next holiday season. As I said, success was killing me. I found out success is expensive. A visit to Rich Dad. Rich Dad was my mentor and coach during this crucial period of my life. I was doing okay in the S quadrant and doing okay in the I quadrant, but I was not setting the world on fire. I was always out of money. I was tired of being poor. I was tired of employees always calling in sick and asking for more money, more time off, and more benefits. I was tired of salespeople who could not sell. I was tired of retail customers wanting lower prices, greater discounts, more free products, and longer payment terms. I was tired of government regulations and government inspectors. S quadrant hell. I was in S quadrant hell. I was grossing millions of dollars, yet millions of dollars were going out faster than they were coming in. Rich Dad was my coach. I visited him on an irregular basis, generally when I was going through hell. Sitting in his office one night, I told Rich Dad I wanted to give up. I was tired. I was not successful. I was thinking about going back to flying. I heard the police department was looking for former military pilots to fly for the department. The pay was good, lots of time off, benefits, and government retirement. Just what my poor dad had wanted for me. Rich Dad just laughed. He had known all along this day would come. He pulled out his yellow notepad and he drew the cash flow quadrant with these words in each quadrant. Mind, body, emotions, spirit, rules. Rich Dad went to explain, "We are all humans, but different beings. All humans have a mind, body, emotions, and spirits. Our differences in mind, body, emotions, and spirits make us different beings." Most employees do not leave the security of the E quadrant due to the emotion fear. Their fear and need for job security keep them in the E quadrant, even if they know they should leave. "And right now I am stuck in the S quadrant," I said, "and I can't get out." I asked Rich Dad, "Is that what you are getting at?" "Yes," said Rich Dad, smiling. "You have not yet mastered the S quadrant. The S quadrant is the worst quadrant for many reasons, one being the rules of the S quadrant. Tax rules and government regulations kill small entrepreneurs in the S quadrant." "Yet, haven't you said the S quadrant is the most important quadrant?" "Yes," smirked Rich Dad. "If you survive." He then asked, When you were a sales rep for Xerox, didn't you see those small business owners fighting for survival? Yes, every day. I'm doing the same thing now. Always remember a baby learning to walk and a kid learning to ride a bicycle. That is what happens in each and every quadrant. You learn to do well in the E quadrant working for Xerox. Then you moved on to the S quadrant. Today, you are a kid riding a bicycle in the S quadrant, but not going anywhere yet. I thought about this, then asked him, "My mind, body, emotions, and spirit have not yet matured in the S quadrant? I have not yet grown up?" "Correct," said Rich Dad. "You're doing well. You're close. There are still a few pieces missing. The pieces could be mental, physical, emotional, or spiritual, or all of them." He reminded me that life is like learning to play golf. In theory, golf is a very simple game. 60% of the game is won with a putter, and almost everyone can hit a putter. In reality, golf is the toughest game of all. The game is played in our mind, body, emotions, and spirit. The same is true in business. There is nothing outside of you. Everything is inside, Rich Dad said. I left his office confused. I did not know what I did not know. In my mind, I was doing all the right things. I stopped by a local Chinese restaurant and struggled with my emotions. As I was leaving, the waitress said, "Thank you," and handed me a fortune cookie. Breaking the cookie, I pulled out my fortune, which read, "You can always quit. Why start now?" The next morning, I taped my fortune to my telephone, so I would see it every day, and got back to work, dialing for dollars and putting out fires. As the saying goes, when you're going through hell, keep going. Masters of money and what they do. A few months later, I was happier and felt like a human being again. During my coaching session with Rich Dad, I asked him, "What is the end game? How do I know I've won as an entrepreneur?" He smiled at me. The smile I had come to recognize, the one that meant he was happy with my question. Taking a breath, he said, "When you reach the I quadrant." "What happens in the I quadrant?" I asked. "You become a master of money. You are no longer a slave to money." "And what does a master of money do?" I asked. "Masters of money do not need money to make money. Masters of money are alchemists. They turn ideas into gold. They turn ideas into international businesses," Rich Dad said. He continued, "And after a person becomes a master of money, they do what I am doing with you." "And what are you doing with me?" I asked. "I'm guiding you to one day become a master of money like me." "How do I know when I've become a master of money?" "When you develop your Midas touch, when everything you touch turns into gold, in today's world, money." "Then what do I do?" I asked. "Then you teach. It is your responsibility to teach, to guide, to develop others like you. The world needs great entrepreneurs. Without great entrepreneurs, the world economy begins to collapse. Capitalism will evolve into socialism, possibly communism, a world of terror, a world of limited freedom, a world of dictators and despots." "But I have to make it to the I quadrant first before I can teach?" "Yes. I think it is better you get to the I quadrant first. The world is filled with charlatans, false prophets, people who promise to teach you to be rich, but they themselves are not rich. Do not be one of them. Teach from the I quadrant." Rich Dad's Classroom. I was 9 years old when I first sat in Rich Dad's office. His office was our classroom. At first, his office was small, at the back of his first hotel in the small town of Hilo, Hawaii. By the time I was in my mid-30s, Rich Dad's office was in a luxury high-rise office building near his massive hotel on Waikiki Beach. I was older and could hear things he could not tell me when I was younger. "Many people want to be rich, but they take the easy road, rather than spend time learning and studying, especially about debt, taxes, and phantom income. They do foolish things like cheat, lie, and steal. The world of business is filled with these people. They will say anything. They make promises they never intend to keep. They bend the rules, break the rules, then wonder why their reputation is that of a cheat, a sneak, a flim-flam man, a liar, a smooth talker, a BS artist, a con man or woman, a con artist, a dreamer, a bully, a gambler, a two-bit hustler, a petty thief, a person not to be trusted. Someone whose word is no good. Someone who will trade sex for a raise and promotion. A few do reach the I quadrant, but they pay a very high price. The price is their soul. Looking across his desk at me, he said, "Don't be one of them." The good news. Rich Dad smiled again, saying, "The good news is these people will be your best teachers. They will teach you lessons about yourself even you did not know. They will find your weaknesses and exploit them. They will teach you your weaknesses, the flaws in your thinking, and how naive you are. They will smile at you and pick your pocket at the same time. If you want to learn to do business in the real world, these people will be your best teachers." Rich Dad reminded me of what His Holiness the Dalai Lama said after China invaded Tibet and pushed him out of his temple and home. His Holiness said, "Mao Zedong is my best teacher." Rich Dad explained that there are rich people in the E, S, and B quadrants, but they all work for money. The masters of money live in the I quadrant. These are rare individuals who do not need money. They can create money out of nothing. A true master is a teacher, just as a martial arts master is a teacher. Yet not all people in the I quadrant are teachers. Some use the I quadrant to rule the world. They have the power to buy and sell politicians. They influence elections. They make the rules. They know the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. "So you follow the rules of the I quadrant?" I asked. "Yes," said Rich Dad. "I follow the rules, but I do not have to do what they do. I do have a soul." Core values. Rich Dad drew a cash flow quadrant diagram, explaining the core values of the different beings in each quadrant. In the E quadrant was, "I need security." In the S quadrant was, "I need independence." In the B quadrant was, "I need a team." And in the I quadrant was, "I need entrepreneurs." "Why does someone in the I quadrant need entrepreneurs?" I asked. "Because we all need to give back, every one of us. A person in the I quadrant needs to train new entrepreneurs. I need you just as much as you need me. It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. When you reach the top, you give back. If I was a master chef, I would need to train new chefs." "It's like the old apprentice system," I said. "Yes, exactly," said Rich Dad. "Unfortunately, today, the ancient apprentice system has been replaced by a government school system, a system that trains employees, not entrepreneurs. That is why we are in trouble as an economy." Rich Dad was concerned. "My son Mike is fortunate. I made the journey through the quadrants for him, and I trained him well. As you know, I did not give him anything. That is why the two of you worked for me for free. I am a rich man who started with nothing. I know there is nothing more helpless than the child of a wealthy man. There is nothing more self-destructive than a child born with a sense of entitlement. That is why I treated you both the same. I refused to pay you. I wanted both of you to be humble." Rich Dad had more to tell me. "Humility gives you the ability to see yourself in the context of a much larger world. I wanted you to work with the lowest paid people at the lowest levels of my business. I wanted you to get to know the workers doing the most humble of jobs. I wanted you to know them as human beings, not just as low-income employees. We are all human beings. That is why I had you do their jobs, working alongside them, doing the same work for free. The people you and Mike worked alongside are the invisible workers in any business. They are the engines of the business. They make the engine of business run. Your job as an entrepreneur, the owner of your business, is to work for them. Your most important job is to protect them and their families from the harsh realities of this world. Taking a breath, Rich Dad paused to see if what he said was sinking in with me. When he was certain I heard him, he spoke again, saying, "Too many young people with MBAs are people like you, people from middle-class families. After getting their master's degree, they enter a business at the top, the executive level, never knowing the wonderful people at the bottom. Many executives think they are smarter, more intelligent, better than the workers below them. Many lose touch with reality. Many lose touch with their own humanity. To them, employees are just numbers, human beings that can be hired and fired as needed. They fail to realize that all living things rely on each other. No man is a slave to another." He concluded by saying, "MBAs are trained to lead via numbers, spreadsheets, and quarterly reports. They never learn that kindness is the greatest trait of a leader. They forget that manners are not trivial and respect is everything. They work hard, hoping to one day join the rare few in the I quadrant, but few will make it. It is almost impossible to get from the E quadrant to the I quadrant by avoiding the S and B quadrants. You cannot teach what you do not know. Yet many do." Rich Kids. Rich Dad had some thoughts on rich kids. Many people in the I quadrant are children of privilege. They grow up rich in the I quadrant. They come from multi-generational wealth. Their grandparents made their money. They go to expensive, exclusive private elementary and high schools, only knowing other children of privilege. Many go on to the finest, most prestigious universities in the world. After graduation, their parents get them positions as apprentices at the top of the corporate and banking world, being groomed to one day run the company, without having to start with nothing, without having to learn how to build a business out of nothing, without knowing the real people of the world. It is the ability to build a business out of nothing that makes a person a master of money. If you are simply born rich, you may not have what it takes. You are often rich and smart, but out of touch with the real world. And yet, they are the ones who make the rules that make the rich richer, but leave the poor and middle class poorer. Testing my humility. "So you were testing my humility before you were willing to teach me?" I asked. Rich Dad only nodded. "Is that why you had Mike and me do jobs like picking up cigarette butts for free before you were willing to teach us?" Rich Dad nodded, saying, "When you demonstrated your willingness to learn with humility, I was willing to teach you what I know. If you had said, 'Why should I pick up cigarette butts for free?' I would not have wasted my time teaching either of you. I have more important things to do than to teach two brats how to be rich." As I left his office that night, Rich Dad asked, "If you make it to the I quadrant, I want you to promise me that you will teach what I have taught you. If you teach, you become a true master of money." As I turned to leave, he said, "If you teach, then you, me, and we can change the world from the I quadrant." Good news. Today, due to this global economic crisis, there are many programs on television depicting what real people in the I quadrant do. CNBC, the international financial television channel, has TV programs such as Shark Tank and The Profit. I love those programs. The Sharks and The Profit are doing what real I quadrant people do. They teach and sometimes finance a business, partnering with future entrepreneurs. If you have ever watched those programs, you may have noticed one thing that drives the sharks crazy. When a shark asks, "What will you do with the money you're looking for?" and the wannabe entrepreneur says, "I am going to finally pay myself a salary," the sharks check out. When the wannabe entrepreneur says, "I've been knocking on doors selling my products and I've sold over $1 million, and I am now looking for guidance to take the business to the next level," Sharks like Mark Cuban or Barbara Corcoran jump up and say, "You're the kind of person I'm looking for." It was 1983. In 1983, my rock and roll business was up and running. More money was coming in than going out. The business was finally stabilized. Something inside of me told me that it was time again to move on. That same year, Bucky Fuller passed away on July 1st, 1983. A few months later, Fuller's book, Grunch of Giants, was published. After reading Grunch, which stands for Gross Universal Cash Heist, I knew it was time to move on. In 1984, I sold my business and decided to become an entrepreneur in education. That same year, I met the most beautiful woman in the world, Kim. In December of 1984, we held hands and took our leap of faith. Once again, with nothing. Once again, learning to walk in a new S-quadrant business that tested our mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual intelligences. Kim and I were following lessons Bucky Fuller had passed on to me. One lesson was, "I do not work for me. I work for everyone." Another lesson was, "Find out what God wants done and do it." That's what we set out to do. Kim and I were homeless for a short while. Our spiritual intelligence, our faith, was being tested. Once again, I better understood why Rich Dad did not pay his son and me. Like true entrepreneurs, Kim and I did not let the lack of money stop us. We met some horrible people, people who took advantage of us and our situation. Today, they remain our greatest teachers. We learned a lot about people and ourselves. And we met some of the greatest people in the world, people in all parts of the world, people we would never have met if job security was our life's priority. In 1994, Kim and I made it in the I quadrant. We had $10,000 a month in passive income, coming in from real estate investments, and only $3,000 in expenses, including a personal mortgage payment. We were free. We had mastered debt, taxes, and phantom income. We no longer needed money. We could create abundance out of nothing. Kim was 37 and I was 47. We celebrated for a week on luxurious Turtle Island in Fiji. In 1996, keeping my promise to Rich Dad, who had since passed away, Kim and I produced the Cash Flow board game. In 1997, Rich Dad, Poor Dad was published, and in that same year, the Rich Dad Company was formed, and we began teaching via the B Quadrant. We were out of the S Quadrant. Our products were now teaching throughout the world. In 2000, Rich Dad, Poor Dad made the New York Times bestseller list, the only self-published book on the list. That same year, 2000, I was Oprah Winfrey's guest on Oprah, and I learned the power of the Oprah effect. My world changed overnight. On February 1st, 2004, the New York Times ran an article about our board game Cash Flow, stating, "Move over, Monopoly. A new board game that aims to teach people how to get rich is gaining fans the world over." I kept my promise to Rich Dad. Today, all across the world in big cities and remote villages, in many different languages, there are thousands of teachers teaching thousands of people the lessons my Rich Dad taught me, learning by playing the cash flow game and reading from Rich Dad books. As Rich Dad said, you, me, and we can change the world from the I quadrant. Today, as I quadrant entrepreneurs, Kim and I invest in entrepreneurs. We do not invest in the stock market. Kim and I invest in S quadrant entrepreneurs, just as they move to the B quadrant. The problem with S quadrant entrepreneurs is most only create lower paying jobs. For example, a medical doctor employs lower-paid employees. A B-quadrant entrepreneur creates high-paying jobs for CEOs, CFOs, CIOs, and presidents. When we partner with businesses doing what the government wants done, creating high-paying jobs, providing housing for low-income workers, and developing energy, the government becomes our partner by offering us tax breaks. That is why the people in the I-quadrant are the masters of money. food for the journey. If you are thinking about leaving your job and starting your own business, or you have already left your job and want to move through the quadrants, there are two books I highly recommend. They are The Miracle Morning by Hal